Chicago Sports, spoken here. The beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
4:07, Cubs a winner, White Sox leading Kansas City 7-1, and Salvador Perez taking off with a knee injury. They're in the ninth at Kauffman Stadium. I'm Mark.
That's not good.
That is not good if you're a Royals fan, which the guy is who we're about to talk to right now on the 720 WGN. Fox Sports is Nick Wright, who I used to do radio with back in Kansas City, and Nick used working with me to launch himself to a national level. Isn't that about the way it worked, Nick?
What happened to Salvador Perez?
Salvador Perez.
Well, the Royals, these guys keep just running into each other on foul balls that the White Sox hit.
You had a foul ball midway between home plate and third base. Mike Moustakas, of course, you know, with the ACL not around. So some guy by the name of, what's his
Chester
name?
Chester Cuthbert?
Yeah, him. He just came running down there like he was Eric Berry of the Chiefs and slammed into Salvador Perez's knee.
Oh, no. All right, well, that's totally changed my demeanor for this interview, but I'll try to power through. What's going on, fellas?
Since you just said that, Adam was out to dinner last night, and he's a diehard White Sox fan. He's having a nice meal with
I want to talk to him.
Yeah, okay, I'll turn my mic off. It's all right.
Well, he's out to dinner, though, with his lovely wife and a good friend, Adam Johns, who's a media guy as well, and his wife, and the Royals come back from 5-1 down to win, and Hogue ruins the dinner by going bad mood. I mean,
I didn't ruin the dinner, but I did, Nick. I did need a little bit of a pep talk from my, I shouldn't say I needed it, but I found my wife giving me a pep talk to get me back in the moment, enjoy the rest of the evening.
I got to tell you something, and I don't know you, so maybe this isn't my place, but that's a bad job by you. It's a regular season baseball game, man.
I know.
They're going to lose 90 or 70 of them, like even in a great, great season. If you had found out that Chris Sale blew out his arm, that's a reason to ruin dinner. But just because you lose a game, I don't think that's ruinable. I don't think you should let that ruin your evening. But that's just my opinion.
Well, and I respect that opinion. I agree with you 100%. I started that story by saying, hey, look, we're all about honesty here on our program here, Nick, and I was embarrassed to even bring
it. Real quick, if you're all about honesty, you might need a new co-host. I mean, Carm's known for a lot of things, but being terribly honest with the listener is not one of them.
That is just so incredibly unfair, and we have not worked together in radio fashion daily in a long time now. My transparency is just on the up and up, Nick.
It just bleeds through. Okay, well then I'm glad to hear that. What's going on, fellas?
And I would say that you slightly motivated me on that. But Nick, at the time when all he wanted me to do was talk about the dysfunction in my relationship on the air.
To the point to where, and then we can talk basketball, I promise, to the point to where the only way we ever got real honesty from him was one day he was talking to a young lady on his phone while sitting in the Royals radio booth. And my engineer potted that mic up, not to put it on the air, but so we could record it. And we just played on the air 10 minutes of Mark Carmen making kissing faces and noises and just disgusting stuff with he and his girlfriend to really get him out of his shell. That really did happen.
That's fantastic, and we need to get our hands on that audio.
I'll see what I can do.
That really was maybe my favorite segment, even though it painted me in a horrendous light. All right, Nick, we're on here to talk all things with you because there's nowhere you can't go. But we will start with your favorite, which is the NBA and a guy by the name of LeBron James, who is in the finals for the sixth straight year. I know that you're partly related to LeBron by just,
Well, let me just put some context to it.
Go ahead.
Because what people want to say is, it's the Eastern Conference. You know, what's the big deal? Here's the big deal. In the last 50 years, if we take out people that have played with LeBron James, here are the guys that have made three straight NBA finals. Magic Johnson, Kareem, Jordan, Shaq, Kobe, Isaiah, Pippen, Bird. That's the full list of all-stars that have made three straight NBA finals. Nobody other than Bird's made more than three. He's made four, and now LeBron's done it six times. Let me give you just a couple more pieces of information. LeBron, in this six-year run, has played more playoff games than Charles Barkley, David Robinson, or Isaiah Thomas did in their entire careers. LeBron, over this run, has played 121 playoff games. It'll be at least 125, maybe 128. The second most in that span, aside from LeBron's teammates, is Kevin Durant at 83. So nearly 50% more than the guy who's in second place. And the, what made me want to look these things up is last night he rested for 37 seconds in the first 42 minutes of the game.
Yeah, Ty Lue is running him.
And LeBron told him to. So think about that. It's year six of the most extended stretch of greatness in modern NBA history without a break, without ever missing a playoff game. It's playoff game 121, and he is going 41 and a half of the first 42 minutes. The guy's indefatigable. He seems uninjurable, and I think he is taken for granted. What did he do last night? 31, 11, 6, and 3 in a road elimination game to get to the NBA Finals, and nobody cares.
Well, it's
pretty impressive.
It's expected at this point. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's like there's no numbers that he's going to put up that's going
to. By the way, Mark, not to shift the conversation completely, but as the president of the Derrick Rose fan club that you are,
yeah,
how does that make all those stats that Nick just brought up?
As far as the indefatigable part of it, or what are we talking about?
Well, I don't think you've ever heard of LeBron James sitting out a game with, quote, general soreness.
He missed a couple. You can wrap that one, Nick, because he did in the regular season sit some games. Very rarely, but they gave him a day off, which was smart.
But that's different than like
compare.
Here's the thing, and this is where Rose has had some bad luck, and you watch Russell Westbrook as a Bulls fan, and you've got to just be sick to your stomach.
That's true,
because that's what Derrick Rose was supposed to be. But here's the part of it that I think it shouldn't be used to tear other people down, just to push LeBron up. He's the only star in the history of the NBA to never be injured. He's the only star in the history of the NBA to get an MVP vote every year of his career. But what's more impressive is that he's never been hurt. Even Michael had the fluke foot injury that cost him a year. But LeBron's never even had the fluke injury. And occasionally, he took a 2-week break to go to Miami last year. This year he rested a few times. But in general, we are now in year 13 of sustained greatness without a break. It's remarkable.
Well, let me talk about I give LeBron a ton of credit.
Not really.
I give him some credit. Fine. But here's my problem with LeBron, and I'm fascinated by your defense of this. I don't even know if you have one, if you'll just concede the point. LeBron James embarrasses himself, and he embarrasses the league, and he embarrasses the sport when he does the ridiculous flopping act to try to sell a call that, to me, is so beneath a player of his caliber. Yet he continues to do it, has done it throughout these playoffs. Last night you had a rando weird play where Kevin Love is getting knocked into by a Raptor who's like, and then hitting into LeBron. He's asking for an and one after he ran down the lane for three steps and no one touched him. He wants an and one. To me, it makes him disingenuous, the whole deal.
I guess if you're bothered by the flopping, there's no arguing that that bothers you. The point that I would make that I think is a fair one is any time, like, LeBron has to flop because these guys aren't strong enough to knock him off balance. He gets flagrantly fouled repeatedly without the call because he can power through it. And I think it was game two of this series. You had, I think it was Damari Carroll, I might be wrong, put him in a full bear hug while he was barreling down the lane. LeBron still got the shot off and made it. That was a flagrant foul that ended in an and one. So when you're so much stronger than these guys and you're repeatedly kind of getting the Shaq treatment from the refs, I think sometimes you're going to oversell things. But ultimately, once again, you guys said you try to be honest with the listeners. If your big complaint about LeBron is he's too histrionic in selling calls, well, then you just don't like him. Like, if that's what you're going to pick of a 13-year NBA career, here's my beef with the guy. You just said he embarrasses the league. If that, then just be honest. You don't like him because he's the closest thing we've seen to a guy that could touch Jordan's legacy, and because of that, you're threatened by him.
I'll grant all the threatening, And I'll grant the immaturity, and I'll grant all that, but it's still wrong and that he does it. It's just, it's beneath him. I think he should just, it's not something that he needs to do. And
it's a good counter argument though, because that guy, because if you're going to say he's 6'8", however many pounds he is, he should never be falling down, which is a fair point. That's like Nick said. I mean, if he doesn't act, because too many officials, we know the officials in the NBA suck. And there's too many bad calls there. They react too much to the player's reaction rather than the actual foul.
The best example of that, Adam, is last night, if people watched the game, Tristan Thompson elbowed Kyle Lowry dead in the head on a layup. I mean, it was clear. It looked intentional. Kyle Lowry took it on the chin, or took it on the face, really, and didn't react. About 4 minutes later, Kevin Love got elbowed by Bismack Biyombo in the head, which looked totally accidental. Kevin Love fell to the ground. The referees reviewed that one. Bismack Biyombo got a flagrant foul. They waved off the basket. Yeah. And if there would have been a game seven, he would have been out for it. The Tristan Thompson one was worse, but because he didn't react to it, the referees never reviewed it. Like, I think there is... You are incentivized to sell these calls.
I was enraged at the Biyombo. They did not call a foul on him, and they ended up taking the bucket away and whistling a flagrant. He's going to be out for game seven if they win. Are you kidding me?
No, it was terrible.
It's just completely absurd. All right, here, Nick, hang on. We're going to take a little quick timeout. And by your way,
I get a ruling on this, Nick? This inning started 7-1 White Sox in the ninth inning. The Royals, it's now 7-4, and the tying run is up to bat. If they blow this, am I allowed to have my energy for one segment fall down a little bit?
Yeah, no. If you blow a 7-1 ninth inning lead against the team that's, I think, a game back for the lead of the division, you're allowed to have it ruin at least an hour of your life.
Okay, thank you.
All right, quick timeout, a little bit more with Nick on 720 WGN. 7-6. Royals have the tying run on second base. David Robertson, White Sox closer, out of the game. Some reliever by the name of Tommy Conley. The Connell, you know him over there?
I think it's Canely. But...
Canely? Never seen him before in my life. How long has Canely been up?
A week, I think.
A week? All right.
They brought him up when, I don't know, someone got hurt.
Hey, Nick.
But the White Sox are fine.
I don't know.
What just happened?
You just jumped in and out. You're fine. It's Nick Wright at Get Nick Wright on Twitter. Fox Sports with us here for a couple more moments.
You're fine. Drew Butera's up. Like, you have nothing to worry about.
Okay. Single ties
Nick,
it up.
Nick, what's your general opinion on managers in baseball? Because we have such a
huge... I don't think they matter.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, really. I think that there's like three to five that help you, three to five that hurt you, and the other 20 are all the exact same.
Okay, that's basically what I think, too.
Would you say the same thing about NBA coaches?
For the most part, yes, except I think in the NBA there's like five that help you, 10 that really, really hurt you, and then the rest are mediocre. Like, I think there are more NBA coaches that actively hurt their team's chances to win than there are NBA coaches that help their team's chances to win.
How much credit do you give Billy Donovan in Oklahoma City? Because I think he deserves a ton.
That's tough. I think Billy Donovan's done a very nice job. If you'd asked me this 36 hours ago, I would have been much more glowing, because the thing that I thought he did the best, he screwed up on in the most recent game. What I thought was most impressive from Donovan is the big reason they beat the Spurs was the Cantor-Adams lineup. That lineup, the Spurs had no answer for it. And it was very clear 5 quarters into this series against the Warriors that Cantor was unplayable. You just can't play him. He's too bad defensively. And so he totally went away from him.
Got to interrupt you. Butera off the wall, double. We are tied at 7.
Sorry, White Sox fans.
That is a 6-run ninth inning. Hogue has left the studio. Adam Hogue is gone. is out the door. As I shouldn't be celebrating this because I do want to see the Cubs White Sox World Series, but we are tied up at seven.
That's unbelievable. With
a runner on second, it's two out, and that pitch was meat from whatever this reliever's name is, Conley.
To finish the point real quick, what was so smart was he just totally abandoned Cantor. And then in game five, he went back to him. He went to him for 4 minutes in the first half. They got beat, I think, by eight in those 4 minutes. And in the beginning of the fourth quarter, when Steph was resting and you're only down four, they put Cantor back in, and guess what happened? They immediately gave up a 8-2 or a 6-0 run, and in 57 seconds while he was on the court. So, like, Cantor's unplayable. But in general, I think Donovan's done a really nice job. It would appear Donovan's a pretty damn good coach at any level.
Conley, wild pitch on trying to intentionally walk
not
somebody.
Not intentional walk. He throws a wild pitch.
No way.
Runner at third, now 90 feet away. Will he go another wild one? This guy's trying to throw intentional balls that are like basically going over the plate. We should go Kelly Leak. What movie? Bad News Bears right now. Okay, fine. So that you're right. I agree with you, by the way, on Billy Donovan. He had a rough game five, but... I still think that the way the Thunder are playing, he deserves credit for it. Hey,
do you think they're going to win tonight?
I do. I absolutely do.
I do too. And if they win, like, this is the thing. The only way the Cavs could win a title is if they were playing the Thunder. Like, they were drawing dead against the Spurs or the Warriors because you can't play Love and Irving against either one of those teams because they're so bad defensively and those teams are so great at executing. You can play those guys against the Thunder, not because the Thunder aren't a great offensive team, they are, but they don't beat you the way the Spurs and Warriors do, which is just find the weak spot on the defense. They beat you because Westbrook and Durant are great. And so, like, the only team that could have come out of the West that I believe the Cavs could beat is the team that it looks like is going to come out of the West, which is crazy.
All right, last thing for you, Nick.
Yeah.
Before we let you go here, we just talked about how managers don't matter, but I guarantee you we're going to be taking some phone calls as soon as this awful game gets done with about Robin Ventura. Is there any point, White Sox are now 4, if they lose this game, they'll be 4-13 in their last 17 games.
He's not going
to. Do you gain anything from firing Robin Ventura?
I think Karma's about to tell you I'm the wrong person to ask this question.
Okay.
I'd be making it up. I have no idea if you'd gain anything from firing Robin Ventura. I do know this, that whatever, and I apologize to the Chicago listeners, don't hate me for this, but if Robin Ventura is a bad manager, if you're right, God, I hope they keep him forever.
Well, I was going to say that there's no way you're going to say anything to that because you killed Ned Yost for years, and Ned Yost just...
I wanted everyone as recently as the year they went to the World Series and lost in 7 games. At the trade deadline of 2014, I was demanding they fire Yost and Dayton Moore. And since then, they've gone to a World Series and won a World Series, and it looks like they're about to be in first place in the division.
And they were probably in first place at that time, right?
No, at that moment, they weren't. At that moment, it looked like they weren't going anywhere. It's basically been the trade deadline of 2014 to now that the Royals have become a real baseball team.
It was so much fun when they weren't, but
they are really real now.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they just slap all these singles all over the place and they're never done, it's impressive.
Nick Wright, Fox Sports, you'll be watching him, you'll be seeing him. Nicky, just remember when you're on the set, you never would have gotten there if you hadn't worked with At the Carm.
Oh, it's totally accurate. It's totally true. I worked with you for years and I realized, all right, see what he's doing. Make sure you do none of it, and your career should be fine.
See? There you go.
See, I think he held you back at least a year.
Probably true. See you, Adam.
See you.
Bye, Nick. Nick Wright, at Get Nick Wright on Twitter, with a little NBA / Royal / meltdown. The White Sox are now low. We have a wild pitch. Is that what happened? So we have second and third now willingly loading the bases with this guy. Who is this guy?
Nick Canley.
Canley, why would you load the bases if you want to rip on Robin Ventura? Why would you load the bases with a guy who can't find the strike zone? It's a bad idea.
The guy on third is the game.
I understand.
These other runners don't matter.
Yeah, but when you... When
so you might as well load the bases to get options at every base.
Okay, that's we disagree on baseball strategy.
Why? Well, why? How does that hurt you?
Because you have to throw strikes to the next guy.
He was already at third.
But if this... But
oh, I see what you're
next
saying.
Next guy walks, I'd rather pitch to somebody with a base open than pitch with the bases loaded. Especially with a guy who can't
even... can go either way. This guy can't throw an intentional walk to save his life. How is he still in the game?
And it was derived.
Why was David Robertson in as long as he was?
Let's get to news. We have a break before news, Dan. Are we that late? We are that late. All right. News in 2 minutes on 720 WGN.